Godly Habits, 7 Spiritual Practices to Grow You as a Disciple of Jesus. Chapter 7, Technology. Neither Saint Benedict nor Saint Augustine considered iPhones in their program of godly habits. Both ancient godfathers of the spiritual disciplines had a preoccupation with taking the small patterns of daily life and ordering them towards the ultimate goal of human existence, to love God and neighbor. How would they instruct us to pray, read the scriptures, sit under teaching at church, or rest well on the Sabbath, when every chance we get, we reach for the dopamine dispenser that is the mobile phone? It's not that Christians are anti-tech. Each generation of Christians has likely embraced one or more technological advances for the greater promotion of the gospel and for the glory of God. Think of the printing presses that put Bibles in the hands of everyday people, or microphones and loudspeakers that enabled Billy Graham to preach to millions, or the internet that enabled ongoing fellowship when we were physically isolated in COVID lockdowns. So we're not anti-tech per se. But the smartphone in particular is such a mixed blessing. It allows us to connect across time and space, but it demands our presence and attention petulantly, and it takes it from whatever or whomever is right in front of us. Justin Whitmont Early said, "Our life is defined by which of the many cries for our attention we heed. But we have to acknowledge that our phones are carefully designed to attract our attention and sell it to advertisers. It doesn't necessarily make them evil, capitalistic machines, but it certainly means they aren't neutral in the slightest. And that means we have to do the hard work of governing them, because they will not govern themselves." This is true whatever our vice of choice. Social media becomes a vain filter for real life. Whether we are doing the restless scrolling thing and feeling worse because our friends' carefully curated lives look more exciting or prettier than ours, or if we're the ones weighing up every vista or angle as Insta-worthy, or every conversation as quotable or tweetable, it just stops us from being present, attentive, observant, sympathetic. The news cycle lurches from catastrophe to catastrophe and from outrage to outrage, and we lurch with it, without ever understanding any complex issue properly. It's true whatever our device of choice, for that matter, by which we access the World Wide Web. You can't claim moral high ground because you're not permanently attached to your phone if you're just as tied to email on your laptop, frenetically checking it first thing each morning, or being interminably interrupted by its arrival throughout the day. And it's even true of the content we consume via the internet. The never-ending loop of TikTok or YouTube videos suck hours out of our day before we even realize it. And it's not like the majority of the stories we binge our way through on Netflix or Disney Plus encourage us towards greater love of God and an enhanced concern for our neighbors. Both the media and the medium fracture our presence and attention and require meaningful habits of resistance, for they will not govern themselves. Give it a go, number one. Turn it off regularly, a few hours a day a week, and so on. Find a time in your day when you can do without your phone or laptop or gaming console or whatever, so you can give yourself to others and God. This could be the first hour of your morning, which you can devote to prayer, scripture, reading, and conversation with others. Or perhaps 2 hours around dinner time so that you can prepare for dinner, engage in table discussions, and give yourself attentively to family members or housemates. You might need to let family members, colleagues, and clients know that you'll be offline for a few hours in the evening, or won't be checking things until a certain time in the morning. And if things are really urgent, you can get back to them after the time is up, but most things won't be that urgent. Some have even suggested putting your phones and other devices to bed at around the same time as you'd put children to bed and giving them a sleep in the morning. You will likely sleep better if you've been without them for a few hours before bedtime too. And it would be worth trying an electronic Sabbath or fasting from tech for a 24-hour period. Shut the computer and put away the remote control. Make social plans ahead of time so you don't need to be on your phone during the Sabbath period. Explore Sabbath activities that don't require a phone, internet, or screen. Read. Try a board game. Or go for a walk. If you do like to relax by watching sport or movies on TV, then set limits, because you're not likely to experience greater rest or worship by binging on Netflix. Give it a go, number two. Curate media to 4 hours per week, or 2 hours, or 7 hours. Stories shape our idea of what a good life looks like, whether they're 30-second stories on TikTok, multi-season stories on Netflix, video games, or even a favorite book. You might have heard of them. We don't just watch stories, we become them. But these days, we don't choose the stories as much as they choose us, via algorithms, search suggestions, and so on. So we want to choose the stories we watch and become, rather than letting somebody else do it, usually for monetary incentives. And we want to limit unplanned and undesirable stories from shaping us. We also want to limit the time we sink into endless and mindless media streams. Setting time limits helps us to do both. The 4-hour limit might seem arbitrary. Some will want less, others might need more. But that provides for a 1-hour session across 4 days per week, which is still substantial and seems like a good starting point. Curating your media consumption forces you to pick the shows or clips that you really want to watch, or the game if you're a sports lover, or the video game if you're a gamer, to consume it slowly and thoughtfully, and to develop delayed gratification, which is the opposite of binge watching, and which really is a useful skill across all of life. You'll still want to select media that has redemptive features, rather than shows, clips, or games which glorify violence, or distort the beauty of sex, or idolize a warped version of success. These could be stories that uphold truthfulness, justice, and humanity, or which celebrate beauty in creation and culture, or which open our minds to the lives of people who are different to us. And ultimately, they should prompt you to turn off the technology, to look up to God in prayer, to go outside into the world, and to face outwards towards other people. Some helpful hints. Immerse yourself in the story of Scripture before you turn on any other device. Lean into the story of God's love each morning before any other story or script that captures your imagination. Read a printed Bible, which will help you get to know your Bible better and see verses in the immediate context more easily, as well as removing the temptation to flick over to social media or streaming videos on your phone. If you put the phone out of reach, you're less likely to be tempted. Studies have shown that if you put it out of sight, like in a drawer or another room, your productivity increases, presumably in line with your attentiveness. Delete apps that you know are time wasters. Silence notifications, which are the annoying mosquitoes of the smartphone world, and unsubscribe from unnecessary email lists. If you're at the dinner table, place all mobile devices in another part of the room. If you're out to dinner, play a game where whoever picks up their phone also picks up the bill. If you have children, make guidelines in this area for them, and most importantly, follow them yourself. You might need to think carefully about other media forms like novels. It's possible to have the same endless, mindless issue with old tech like books that many of us have with new tech like phones, streaming services, and video games. But the point applies to old and new tech. We want to be thoughtful about the media we consume in whatever form, the stories we imbibe, and the amount of time we sink into them.